Merry Christmas. It's great to be together this evening, isn't it? We're so glad that you're here, whether this is your regular church home or you're just here with friends and family and being invited. We're so grateful you're with us. I'm just going to give a few words on a part of the Bible together the next few moments. It's actually the fifth in a six-part series on Christmas we've been going into, and the last one will be on the Sunday after Christmas. You may think it's a little strange to finish a Christmas series of sermons on the Sunday after Christmas, but traditionally the 25th is the first of 12 days of Christmas, and the 28th is the fourth day, and so on Sunday we will have four calling birds or something like that, maybe. But at any rate, do come back for that. So this is the fifth in our series, and it's just going to be summarized by the single word, believe. We've already been thinking about that. Just the single word, believe. And we're actually looking at a part in the Bible called 1 Timothy. It's chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. And one of the early followers of Jesus, called the Apostle Paul, is writing to one of his friends called Timothy, and he writes as follows. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as in the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe, there's the key word, believe, in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, the Bible here is giving us actually three reasons to believe in Jesus. And they are very simply why, who, and how. So first of all, believe in Jesus because of why Jesus came. Verse 15, again, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is why. Now, this is a trustworthy saying. And it's a saying that means it's very important that we should remember what is being said. We've all got different traditions, I suppose, around Christmas, and you'll have your own pattern of things, and we do as a family as well. And one of our Christmas traditions, which I think is perhaps not that common here in the United States, though someone, after I use this as illustration, the 4 p.m., someone texted me a picture showing they do exactly the same, so maybe you do this. But I've got a picture for you on the screen of it, and I've actually got one right here as well. It's called a Christmas cracker. And if you came to the young family service at 4 p.m., we actually had a child come up and try and open it up. And it's meant to open up with a bang, and it entirely failed to do so, which was very, very disappointing, I think, for me and for the child as well. But the basic idea is you pull on one end, and then, as I say, there's a bit of a bang, and then inside there are a few different things. There's a paper hat, and I put it on for a bit, and then I take it off because it always gives me a headache. So if you get a paper hat, you're meant to look like a king or something, I think. And there's always a joke inside, usually very bad joke. For instance, one sort of classic joke would be, what did Adam say to his wife on the day before Christmas? And the answer is, Merry Christmas Eve. You know, it's that kind of thing, all right? So, but sometimes inside there's a little bit of sort of homespun wisdom, something that is meant to be a little bit more profound. And again, it's a saying. So this is a saying that is trustworthy and true. And a bit like, I suppose, you get these sayings, you know, Charles Dickens, have you ever read the A Christmas Carol? There's a famous saying there at the end where he says, I'll honor Christmas, my heart, and try to keep it all the year. Well, here's a trustworthy saying. And it's telling us why Jesus came. Jesus came to save sinners. So that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we sing. And I know there are lots of other songs, but it's not so much jingle bells, oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse sleigh or whatever it is. And it's not even so much all I want for Christmas is you. But it's this, isn't it, that he came to save sinners. And if we're thinking in kind of holiday Christmassy jargon, you think of this word sinners, but basically the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. And if you put it in holiday Christmassy jargon, he's really saying that there is no good list and naughty list for Santa. The truth is we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. And that's what we celebrate, that God therefore sent Christ Jesus in the world to save sinners. Well, you think, okay, that's fine, but it seems a little theoretical. Well, here we come to the second reason, which is because of who Jesus saves. So from the end of verse 15 to verse 16, it goes like this. And I actually think this is one of the most remarkable parts of the Bible, really. So the Apostle Paul is writing. He says, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It's just an astonishing thing to say, isn't it? And then he carries on, just verse 16 at this point in the sermon. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So this is all about who Jesus saves. What Paul doesn't literally mean here that he's the worst possible sinner you can imagine. He hasn't literally tallied up everything that anyone has ever done and decided that he's the worst. He doesn't mean that. What he means is that when God starts to grab hold of us, when he starts to be at work in our lives, we think, I can't possibly be saved. I'm the very worst. And what that means is, you see, it's a great surprise, because what that means is, whether you think, you know, you go to church and you think you can't possibly be good enough because you've done X, Y, and Z, or you don't fit into a church category. So it means it could be you, because Paul says he's the worst, actually. So it could be you. But it also means that instead, if you're the other kind of person who thinks, you know, I'm pretty good, I haven't done much wrong, I don't need saving, well, this could also be for you actually as well, because the Apostle Paul, of course, was a very quote-unquote good person. He was a religious person. He felt he was, as he said, Pharisee of Pharisees. He was very righteous. He didn't think he needed saving. And then he realized God stepped into his life and he realized that he was the worst and he needed saving. So whether you're here tonight thinking, I can't possibly be good enough for God. Yes, you can. The Apostle Paul's an example for you. Jesus saved him. So it's for you. That's who saves, who Jesus saves. Whether you're that kind of person or you're the other kind of person here tonight who thinks, well, actually, I'm pretty good. I don't need all this religion stuff. That's what Paul thought. And then Jesus broke in and saved him. It's a great reason to believe because of who Jesus saves. In other words, he came to save people like you and me. And that's wonderful, wonderful good news. Whether you feel that you're on Santa's good list or his naughty list, whether you're righteous, you think, or terrible, he came to save you. But we've got one final reason this evening, which is how. And this is the greatest reason of all that the Apostle Paul gives in this little passage, this little saying, the Christmas cracker that we're looking at tonight. And it's verse 17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, you may say, well, why is that a reason to believe? Well, let me try. This was actually, this very verse here, this one, verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 1, this very verse here was the one that God used to open the eyes of one of the greatest Americans who ever lived. This verse. His name was Jonathan Edwards. And in his personal journal, he said this: as I read these words here, verse 17, there came into my soul, this is what Edwards wrote in his personal journal, there came into my soul and was, as it were, diffused through it, a sense of the glory of the divine being. A new sense, quite different from anything I'd experienced before. He said, never any words of Scripture seemed to me as these words did. I thought with myself, how excellent a being and how happy I should be if I might enjoy that God. So here actually, and he says other stuff like that, but here actually is the greatest reason of all that I'm going to give you tonight to believe in Jesus. And let me put it in 21st century terms. Here's the reason. When we believe, we start to taste the sweetness. We begin to see the beauty. We commence hearing the opening sounds of heaven's glorious orchestra. We sense the glory of God. Immortal, never dying, invisible, beyond human eyesight, the only God, the one true only God, the King of the ages, he's the eternal King. All other kings and rulers and leaders are nothing by comparison with King Jesus. He has the honor, fame, he has the glory, the shining, weighty brilliance of the divine being himself. For this age and the age to come 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 forever and ever and ever. And when we believe, we start to taste this, see this, hear this, enjoy God's glory. So I'm commending to you this evening, very simply, to believe in Jesus for three reasons tonight. First, because of why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. That's what Christmas is all about. It's a salvation. It's a rescue mission. That's the whole thing. Second, because of who Jesus saves. Even people like you and me. And third, what I think is the greatest reason of all to believe in Jesus, certainly the greatest reason from this little saying, the Christmas cracker tonight, because of how this glorifies God by us who believe, experiencing a tasting sweetness of that glorious sounding joy. So here then is the question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Yeah, Christmas is an interesting season, isn't it? There are so many parts of it that we probably have different opinions about. You go into a store or you go to your Spotify and you get it to say, after the 4 o'clock service, I got my Spotify account to play Christmas classics and it came up with Santa Baby. It's like, I could never listen to that song again and I'd be quite happy, you know. Like Christmas classic, really. And you know, there are parts of Christmas that you probably quite like to ignore. You know, some of the Christmas movies. You may like Hallmark movies. Personally, I could not watch another one of like the finance guy going from the big city to the country to rescue the poor owner who's wearing like plaid shirts or whatever it is, you know. I mean, it's like, I guess I could watch it, but I could ignore it quite happily, right? And then, you know, and then there's, you know, the disagreements as to what, you know, what is the greatest Christian movie ever. You know, some people think It's a Wonderful Life. is the greatest. Other people think Die Hard is the greatest. And, you know, is that even a Christmas movie? To which the only correct answer is yes. And just joking around with you. But our family nearly always watches White Christmas. We enjoy that. But, you know, there are parts of Christmas that you may like. Other bits you can quite happily ignore. But you see, Jesus is different. You can reject Jesus. I mean, that option is open to you. Or you can accept Jesus. But what you cannot do is ignore Jesus. He's the only Savior. So again, well, instead of do you believe, will you believe? Will you believe in Christ Jesus? Born a baby, grew up to die, to save you and me, to glorify God, the immortal King. Which glory you may taste this very evening. If you believe. We're going to close with a prayer, and I'm going to put the prayer on the screen this evening so you can see what I'm going to pray, and I'm going to encourage you to pray along with me in your heart tonight. So you can see it on the screen, and I'll say the words, and just in the quiet, pray with me. Let's close every eye closed. Let's close our eyes, and let's come before the living God to pray tonight. Will you believe? Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you sent Jesus into the world to save me. I turn from my sins and believe in you. Please save me. Amen. Well, friends, if you pray that prayer, welcome. We'd love to meet you. Come up and say hello to me or one of the pastors, one of the team. And there's still time to give your life to Jesus, of course, this very evening. And we're going to have a moment of reflection before we come to light the candles at the end of the service.